What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we make this deal?
Short-term rental sector is red hot and showing no signs of slowing down. In order to stay competitive and promote even further growth, property owners and managers must not only stay innovative, but also ensure they are minimizing repetitive tasks while simultaneously providing guests with customized local experiences. Pop-up hotels are an exciting business model in the short-term rental space, which we'll explore today. Today on the show, I'm speaking with Jason Feuden, CEO and co-founder of Y Hotel. Blurring the line between hospitality and home, Y Hotel operates 100 to 250 room pop-up hotels with 24/7 on-site staff and newly built luxury apartment buildings. This episode is brought to you by InCheck by Site Comply. InCheck is a building operations platform used by thousands of property management teams to get visibility, accountability, and consistency and grow their portfolios and profits. To find out more, go to InCheckApp.com. That's InCheckApp.com. I am your host, Ryan Cox, Managing Director at Founders Grove Capital, a multifamily value-add investment firm. Real Estate Innovators is a podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate. We celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play. I asked Jason to talk about his background and what in his background helped him to identify the problem he set out to solve with Y Hotel.
So my background's in institutional high-rise development, so building skyscrapers in cities. One of the things that becomes painfully obvious to you when you build high-rise apartment buildings for rent is that you deliver them empty. So I eventually found myself in an executive role at a large company called Vornado Realty. And I was charged with thinking about how we could develop buildings differently, operate them differently, kind of what the evolution of real estate looked like. And given that I'd previously built buildings and had seen them deliver vacant, and you know, was very well aware of how Airbnb and others were starting to blur the line between hospitality and home, it seemed pretty obvious that there was an opportunity to make use of the vacancy that exists in new apartment buildings when they deliver.
While it will be apparent to many, but maybe not to others, I asked Jason why it's a problem to deliver multifamily high-rise empty and to explain the process of lease-up.
You deliver all of the, call it a 300-unit apartment building in, pick a city, Washington, D.C. When you deliver the building, you can't have residents move in until it's no longer under heavy construction, right? You can't have people living in a construction zone. And so that means those 300 or so units are going to deliver in a, you know, out of 8-12 week period of time. Then the filling up of that building is different than the delivering of it. So now you have 300 empty units and you basically want to fill the thing up in about a year. And you don't want to go faster than a year because each of your leases is about 12 months. And so if you had everyone move in a 4-month window, well, then next year you only have a 4-month window to go fill it back up again. And so to get to the best stabilized asset, what you want to have is a regular rolling of leases so you never have a kind of glut of inventory hit the market. And so that means no matter how strong or weak apartment rents are, you fill up a building over a year or two, and that's just how the market works. And if you know the market's really strong, you push rent. And if the market's soft, you bring down rent. But all in all, you're best suited to fill the building up in a year or so that you don't have that weird leasing issue. And that means that there's just lots of vacancy during lease-up.
Vacancy affects the bottom line during years 1 and 2 of a new development. I asked Jason how Y Hotel solves the vacancy problem.
We put that vacancy to work. So in advance of a building delivering, we secure regulatory approvals for transient or hotel use for those units for up to 2 years. And then when the building opens, we've taken 100 or more of those units. We've fully furnished them. And we turn them into a temporary hotel, a pop-up hotel. And that means we have a 24/7 on-site staff. It means we have guests coming to stay with us every Monday to Thursday if they're business travelers, you know, weekend for leisure. And that as the building fills up with residents, we're making use of those empty units. And then as residents start to outnumber us, we slowly hand back those units to the building owner so that they can fill them up with other residents. And all along the way, we offer perks to the people that live in the building. So free room nights, free cleaning services, free coffee, juice, wine, you know, kind of whatever we have in our sky lobby. And so it's a really natural use to have coexist, because the residents get a benefit, the developer gets that extra income, and our guests get to stay in some of the best product in a city that they would otherwise not have access to.
I asked Jason about the balance between short-term rental hotel stays versus the traditional delivery process, and how Y Hotel balances the construction cycle while executing short-term stays.
We normally open up about 30 days after the building opens up to residents, and we normally ramp up our unit count over the first 60 days. So by 90 days in, we're all the way ramped up, and you know, we're kind of like off to the races. And to your point, you know, we can't just all of a sudden drop 150 units in a 1 week period, right? There's a ramp up to our piece as well. It's just much faster than that of the residential piece.
I asked Jason how Y Hotel differentiates from the competition of short-term rentals and hotels, and to explain their amenity offering.
Kind of space, comfort, amenities of a home share, a brand new home share. So all of our stuff is brand new, with the 24/7 on-site service of a hotel. And so what we find is our guests love the fact that they have their own full kitchen, that they have multiple bedrooms. If they're traveling with a young kid, they can put them to sleep, close the door, open a bottle of wine, you know, stream Netflix or Hulu. And you just can't get that in a traditional hotel room. But at the same time, they know that they're showing up into a never been lived in apartment. They're not squatting in someone else's room. And if there's any issue, you know, we have depth of inventory. We have over 100 rooms. We could move them to another one if the stove didn't work or there's a problem with the thermostat. And we're there 24/7 on site. And so that ends up being a huge differentiator for us versus an Airbnb. And it also ends up being a huge differentiator for us versus a traditional hotel. But I'll say that we list on Airbnb and HomeAway, VRBO. I mean, we use the same channels, but the product is not a home share. It is a hospitality run asset.
I asked Jason how Y Hotel delivers amenities across a broad and varying range of multifamily new construction.
In the hotel world, the amenities normally refers to like soaps and shampoos and all that stuff, which is consistent across our properties. When it comes to physical spaces like gyms and rooftop pools and conference rooms, those are a function of whatever the multifamily developer has built. Generally, we group our guests into two categories, transient-like and resident-like. Transient-like is someone who's staying for a night or two, and the only physical amenity they get, residential amenity they get, is the gym. Otherwise, you know, they can come by our sky lobby and get free wine, water, juice, beer, coffee, what have you, snacks, but they don't get access to the pool or to the business centers. For people who are resident-like, so someone who stays with us for 10 or more days or is coming back every Monday to Thursday, they get full access to the residential amenities. And it's because they're more like the residents that are in the building. We're super conscious about the resident experience. And so we try to match our guests with residents in a way that's only additive.
I asked Jason how he views competition in the short-term rental space.
You know, we compete with other corporate housing type furnished operators that will come in and say to the developer, hey, I'm going to go sign a 3 to 5 year lease and go put the, you know, that unit to work by furnishing it and either having short or long stays. It's different to the developer because that means that group is in there in the long term, where we're just there during lease up. So like you said, our model is pretty unique, but I would say on the real estate side, that's our most likely competitor, set of competitors. On the consumer side, we compete with everybody. We compete with the extended stay hotels, the vacation rentals, the suites. We compete with sublets on Craigslist, corporate housing. There's a lot of options for travelers. I would say that ours is unique, but there are certainly a lot of options out there.
I asked Jason how Y Hotel is leveraging technology to create great experiences for real estate developers and hotel guests.
It's not really enabled by technology as much as our program is thoughtfully designed to match the needs of developers. We like to say that we're a company built by developers for developers. And so the way our agreements are structured, to think about the way they're financed, the way we clear regulatory, and the way we balance the positive resident experience, because that's where the real value is created in a real estate asset. All of that is specifically designed to align with what's most optimal for residential developers. On the consumer side, there's way more technology going on. So there's a back-end reservation system that integrates into all of our channels. We do dynamic pricing. And so all of that running through the OTAs like Expedia, Booking.com, Hotel Tonight, through the vacation rentals, all of that is targeted directly to consumers. We do all of the digital marketing. We have our own e-commerce platform. So in terms of capturing demand, we do a pretty good job. In terms of the guest experience, everything is designed for how your modern home would be. So what that means is when you arrive, obviously there's high-speed Wi-Fi, and obviously it's free because, you know, internet's like water today. When you sit down, your TV is designed for different types of users. So if you're maybe a little older and you don't know how to stream Netflix or Hulu or whatever, Prime, you're going to end up just clicking through the cable TV. If not, you're going to end up using the Chromecast device we have or something else to stream all of your digital content. Outside of that, you can text or call our front desk at any time, and they're always there. We did for a little while have Alexas in the room where you could talk to Alexa to call the front desk, but I think it caused more confusion. And so we're doing a reboot on that so that it's easier for someone who's never been there before to use.
Why Hotel is innovating in commercial real estate finance, leveraging regulatory changes, and creating new customer experiences. I asked Jason to expand on how Why Hotel is innovating in these key areas.
The way real estate development assets are financed is normally through a couple of tranches. The first is a construction loan, and then the second is permanent financing. And your construction lender, their concern is going to be how is this use going to potentially have a negative impact on my ability to be taken out during the permanent financing? Or how is it going to have an impact on the long-term value of the asset? And so because our program is temporary and flexes up and down, there's no long-term issue with how you finance the building. And I'll give you the counterpoint. So if someone's a corporate housing company and they sign a three-year lease, when someone goes to finance that building, they have to look at that source of income and say, oh, well, what's the risk profile of that income? And when you have a business that's signing a lease instead of an individual, while most people might think a business is more sound, they're generally less sound because it's a singular risk. It's less diversified. And so you can't do a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac permanent loan if you're over 10% of the units in your building is corporate housing. And generally, if you have an outside investor buying in, they take a discount to those cash flows because they're not considered as valuable as multifamily. So in our case, we don't play in that space. We're only there during lease up. And so it's designed in a way that doesn't hurt the perm financing. And all of our agreements are either REIT or pension compliant for UBIT, or they're clear for anyone who has kind of conventional LPs in their project. So again, you know, we spent a ton of time on that piece of it. On the regulatory side, we don't, there's a lot of home sharing ordinances in cities that are designed to allow people to use their home as a commercial use for a small window of time per year, maybe 90 or 120 days. We don't play in that space. What we do is we only go in buildings that are in commercial mixed use zones where a hotel could have been built. And we, on a temporary basis, rezone our units as a hotel or lodging use. And we get approvals that are temporary in nature, generally up to 2 years. And so that requires a pretty heavy lift in the beginning when we meet with building code officials and housing and planning folks. But we end up having really productive conversations because we do it in an upfront way. And we've now done it in half dozen or more cities. And so it allows us to work through it in a way where it's additive to the city and the community in a way where everyone feels comfortable. And it, because it's temporary in nature, same thing with the financing, because it's temporary in nature, there's no concern about the long-term impact.
I asked Jason to explain Why Hotel's business model and how Why Hotel makes money.
The way we strike deals with developers is we say, look, give us access to this inventory and we'll go put it to work. And to the extent that we can make it profitable, we will participate in that. We'll participate in that revenue or profitability, but we're not going to charge you fees if we can't make it profitable. And so for developers, that means that, you know, we're doing all the work, we're doing all the lifting. And then if we do a good job, we make some money and they make some money. And if we didn't do as good a job, They wouldn't lose money.
Ask Jason about the partnership between developers and Y Hotel, and which party is responsible for the capital improvements to the short-term rentals.
We do everything. All the upfront staffing, any physical changes to the building for fire life safety, like grab bars for accessibility and smoke alarms in the corridors. We foot the bill for all of that and install it all. And then we also onboard and train a 24/7 hotel team. So that when it goes live, you know, we've invested some money in the deal, and then we work to make back that money and then move the deal into the black so that everyone's making money thereafter.
I heard Jason say that Y Hotel is in 12 or 13 different cities. I asked Jason to speak about the evolution from Y Hotel's launch, how Y Hotel has grown, and opportunities for the future.
So one of the things about our model is there's a time delay between when we strike a deal and when we open, because we go through all that heavy lifting in advance. Today, we are live in 3 markets, and we'll be live in a half dozen next year. And the decision-making process is really all about long-term value. So we want to go into cities where our use can exist in perpetuity, where those cities have had 3,000 to 20,000 units deliver every year for the last 20 or 30 years. There's about 18 core urban markets in the U.S. where that's the case, and those have been our kind of primary focus.
I asked Jason if Y Hotel was focused primarily on growing their footprint in markets or cultivating relationships with developers.
There's a strong hospitality market in terms of occupancy and ADR, and where historically there's been a lot of multifamily development. And when those two things come together, that's the markets we want to be in. Those are the markets we want to be in. What we find is there's a number of developers that we have multiple deals with because either they have multiple buildings in a market or they have multiple buildings across markets. And those are great enterprise relationships, but we're really focused on the market first and in making decisions about where to grow the company. And then to the extent that a developer relationship pulls us into a city that we already planned on going into, that's great, but that's not our kind of first plan.
I asked Jason what success looks like for Y Hotel in 2019.
I'm making major announcements for our 2020 openings and really growing our team. So today we're about 60 people, just over 60 people. We'll be about 200 by the end of this year. So there's a lot that goes into the people side of the business. And what we're really focused on in 19 is just optimizing all of that so that we can go from 6 to 15 to 20 to 50 to 100 hotels. And, you know, even if you can make the models do that, to actually physically do that and get to a couple thousand employees is a pretty big lift. And so a huge part of our focus in 19 is to wrap up the year feeling highly confident that we built out all the systems, processes, procedures, revenue optimization, everything that's designed for that scale.
I asked Jason about the opportunities for growth and to expand the product offering.
So, you know, Ryan, if you stay with us and you're a smoothie kind of guy, when you arrive to be able to have all the things you need to make a smoothie in your unit and, you know, have all the food that you might want, or if you're the kind of person that really values space, putting you in a larger unit, if you're the kind of person that really values a view, putting you in a view-oriented unit, just having the whole experience catered to you specifically. And that really matters if you're a regular traveler. So you're that Monday to Thursday, you're there 21 days a month, it's your home away from home. So I think that on the guest side, there's going to be a lot of not only innovation, but really focus on the personalization of someone's stay. On the real estate side, yield optimization. So being able to manage revenue across multiple channels and thoughtfully determine the right way to lease into and book into is going to be the pretty big lift. Today, there are multi-billion dollar companies that focus on yield optimization across just unfurnished apartments or just typical hotel rooms. We are at the cross section of those two things. And so to be able to get that right, I think is also going to be a pretty impactful thing.
I asked Jason about the opportunity to create customer loyalty programs in the short-term rental space.
The reason that people want loyalty is different depending on the kind of customer they are. So in the airline world, loyalty is really about status and it's about making your journey more comfortable. In the hotel world, loyalty is really about kickbacks of some sort, right? I mean, it's really about rewarding someone for staying with you instead of somebody else. So Marriott and Hilton points and others. And so we see that, and we've kind of looked at what are the ways. So, and that matters most, by the way, for business traveler, your Monday to Thursday, again, your consummate traveler. And so one of the easy things to do is access control. So when someone's once stayed with you and you've already ID'd them, you know, with their phone, they can just go right to their room. They can walk in, everything's there that they need. And that's kind of that ease of traveler, right? That status thing you get with airlines. And that's actually pretty straightforward. The second piece is, you know, how do you reward somebody economically for staying with you? And it's a fine line because you can't actually pay somebody, but you can give them points of value. And so the way we see that coming together is being able to automatically credit people's Amazon, Uber, Lyft accounts every time they stay with us so that they don't have to think about the cost of driving around, or, you know, they don't have to think of like Amazon Fresh for all of their food deliveries. And so what we expect to have happen is our reward system to be some version of a digital currency for services that people otherwise use, but still nascent stages. We still have a long way to go on that.
I asked Jason to make a prediction about the short-term rental space in the next 5 years.
We'll be making a couple announcements in the next few weeks, but where we see the world moving is, like you said, everything's on this spectrum of flexibility. So the way WeWork has made working flexible and office leasing, we expect the same to exist across housing. And that is, you know, flexing between furnished and unfurnished, short and long stay. It's a la carte services. It's common areas that are wrapped by kind of social uses like coffee shops and bars. What we expect to have happen is, especially in urban cores, that it's fluid. The staying and living and it all becomes one thing, and those groups of people are all in the same place.
I asked Jason what we haven't talked about that he feels is important to share and communicate with the listening audience.
To the extent that groups like ours or others are able to dramatically make changes to, or even marginally make changes to physical space and the way it's utilized, it will have a pretty profound impact on the lives of anyone that lives in cities. And so I would say that, we see this as early innings, right? This is first, second inning of a baseball game. What WeWork has done, what Convene has done, what we're doing, what some of our competitors are doing, we think just represents the beginning of a monumental shift in real estate that breaks down the silos between categories and allows for multiple users across the lifespan of a building. You know, real estate's probably the most inflexible asset ever for how large it is. It's pretty exciting to kind of see that change unfold.
Great to connect with Jason Feuden of Y Hotel today. Y Hotel's story began with a couple of people bent on improving what they knew best. In Y Hotel's case, it was newly built high-rise buildings in city centers. Y Hotel's co-founders realized there's an underlying inefficiency to how newly constructed apartment buildings are delivered to market. So Y Hotel set out to take advantage of this timing inefficiency by temporarily operating a spacious, innovative, and like-home hospitality experience out of the vacancy of brand-new luxury apartment buildings. And that concludes our show. I'm excited to follow Jason in his pursuit to reinvent the short-term stay in luxury apartment buildings. You can find out more about Jason and Y Hotel in the show notes. Please subscribe to The Real Estate Innovators and write a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. Find out more about The Real Estate Innovators at therealestateinnovators.com. Until next time, innovators.